to the hospital. So I think that let's just pray. Father, we just pray for Brother Tony right now, Lord God, as he goes to the hospital. We just pray for a healing, Lord God, over whatever's ailing him, Father, especially around his chest and his breathing, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you would just bring healing, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so welcome to everybody, I'm so glad that you could join us this morning. Mr. Donovan, how are you? Good to see you. Donovan was doing night shift, and he was very happy because last week Manchester United won, you know. So today we are praying. Today I'm praying that Manchester United beats Arsenal. Yes. So, look, I think it's always great to be in the house of the Lord and to gather with each other. And so we're now 3 weeks. Can you believe it? Today is the 22nd of January, 2023. And as Pastor Nami said earlier, we just come out of a little season of prayer and fasting. And why that's important is because what we're trying to do is to realign our hearts, to realign our lives to the Lord and say, Father, we pray that you would lead us, because we know that God knows everything that's going to happen in 2023. And so we need the Lord on our side. And we're greatly encouraged by this verse, Psalm 90, verses 12 to 17. It says, teach us to number our days, so that we may grow in wisdom. It says, O Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity on your servants. Satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love, so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good. Let us, your servants, see your work again. Let our children see your glory. Am I echoing? A little bit? Do I need to step at the back? All right, anyway, I'll continue. And then, that sounds a bit better. And then it says, and may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. Maybe I should get up on stage. Sorry. Now, why is that important? Why, this is the year that we are saying, Lord, the year 2022 is gone. I might have played games with you, but this is the year, Lord God, that I am going to choose to take you more seriously. I'm going to choose to be in the Word of God. And if there's anything I can hope for you, is that this is the year that you make it a priority to study the Word of God, to dwell in it, because this you will find guidance for your life. Whatever issue you're facing, there is an answer for it in this book. Amen? And of course, we want God to make our efforts successful for our family and for our community and for your children. Don't you want to see the glory of God for your children? You know, the reason why it says, teach us to number our days so that we may grow in wisdom. Now, whether we like it or not, the one thing that we are all losing is time. So you can't say, no, I'm not losing time. I got lots of time. None of us know how much time we have left. And so when we grow a heart of wisdom, as a parent, I will then say, man, I need to make some deposits into my children's lives. Because the reality is that one day, I'm not going to be here. Now, my kids get told that, not quite often, but I just, you know, every now and then, to say, come on, grow up, because one day your dad is not going to be there, and you're going to need to be able to take care of yourself. But it's just more than that. It's about what legacy are we leaving them that is going to guide their lives, that is going to guide their lives, that is going to teach them the things of God. Because when all else fails, the words in this book will never fail us. They will never fail us. And so this is why we ask and we're praying, teach us to number our days so we may grow in wisdom. So now we become more deliberate in helping, we become deliberate and intentional in saying, you know what, I'm going to get my children to be in the house of God. One thing I learned from Pastor David, our pastor in Port Hedland, he says, do whatever you can so that your children, whether it's music, whether it's on the sound, whatever it may be, that they have an opportunity, something that will help them serve in the house of God wherever they go. Because if they go to America, they can say, oh, I know how to do sound. If they go to Japan, they know how to do sound there. If they go and live in Zimbabwe, they will know how to do sound there. Amen? Yeah. Or they will know how to play the drums. But it's going to take us as parents. It's going to cost us something. The question is, are we willing to pay the price for what it takes for our children to be planted in the house of the Lord? And so, speaking about planting, the title of the message this morning is called Planted in the House. But it says in Psalm 92, verses 12 to 13, it says, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Do we have to, did you do that money thing? Yeah, just hand it out as we're going. So thank you anyway to those that give. So Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15, just in a different translation in the New International Version, it says, the righteous, which is us, will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Now, the cedar tree is the national emblem of Lebanon. It is a symbol, that tree is a symbol of resilience, of strength, and eternal life. And historically, these cedar trees, and they are huge trees, big. They grow very tall and they grow very wide, and their branches extend a very long way. So these cedar trees covered the mountains of Lebanon. And there are many references of the cedars of Lebanon in the Bible. And the Bible describes this cedar tree as being strong and durable, being graceful and beautiful, being high and tall, and being fragrant and spreading wide. The wood from this tree, when it was then used, they got the oil from the wood, and that was used for fragrances. So nowadays, if you buy cologne or perfume, the perfumes that have got an oil base to them, they tend to last the whole day long. They tend to be very strong. And this is what this tree did. Now, it's talking about, that scripture in Psalm 92 is talking about people here. The righteous will flourish because they are planted in the house of the Lord. And it is saying that we are going to be resilient, we are going to be strong, we are going to be durable, because that tree is very big and they last a very long time. And most importantly, we're going to be fragrant and we're going to spread out wide, which is our influence is going to spread out wide. And so there is something about being planted in the house of God for you and your family. And so when we talk about, you know, a good example about being planted, if I was to contrast a pot plant, which that one, you know, just a pot plant, the problem with a pot plant is that it will look nice. You know, it will look very nice. The problem is that once it's taken out of that pot, the roots do not go deep. They get to the bottom of the pot plant and they start spreading amongst themselves, and it looks quite ugly. Now I wonder, are we those that would you rather be planted in a pot plant and your roots not go down deep? Whereas when you compare it to somebody that is planted in the ground, like these cedars of Lebanon, what they're telling us is that their roots go down deep. As the roots go down deep, they get nutrients. And the one thing that we know about the way these things work, you see, is that the tree has great roots. It takes on the nutrients in the soil. So it takes in something, and then it gives out something else. Just like us, God works in us, and then he works through us. He works in us, and then he works through us. This is the power. When you make a decision to say, we are going to be planted in the house of the Lord. And I believe that an encounter with Jesus will cause you to want to serve him. When you encounter the Lord, all you want to do is to respond. And the way you respond is by saying, Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I want to follow you. No matter what that cost might be. You know, the story was told of the man in the Gadarenes where Jesus went over. And as they were going over, there was a storm. Jesus gets to the other side, and this man who used to live amongst the tombs came rushing out and was yelling out all sorts of crazy things. And even when they tried to chain him together to subdue him, he would break the chains. He would just get extra strength. He would break the chains and just go nuts, cut himself, you know, with the stones and all. You know, so he was really a guy whose life was really messed up. But then he encountered the Lord, and the Lord then sent the demons into the pigs, and the pigs, boop, the pigs went into the river, whatever, lake, sea, they went into the sea. They fell off a cliff and into the sea. Then it says that that man that was bound and tormented by these demons was now sitting next to Jesus in his right mind, telling us that some God had transformed something in his life. And you know what? This guy wanted to follow Jesus. He had an encounter with him. He wanted to follow him. But this is what the Lord said to him. Go and tell your family what the Lord has done for you. So when we encounter Christ, I mean, if you've been really forgiven, you know, if you've been forgiven just a little bit, you're just like, whatever. You don't really value it much. That was, you know, if somebody forgave you $20, he says, no, don't worry, Elter, I owe Elter $20. And Elter comes and says, look, Stephen, don't worry, the 20. Thank you very much. I mean, I'll be happy, but I'm not going to be that happy, you know, because what's $20? Now, maybe $20 means a lot. And you'll be like, damn, thank you very much, Mr. Elter. But imagine Elter forgave me $1 million. He borrowed me $1 million, and thank you, Elter, and I just... I spent that money. And then he said to me, because now I'm expected to pay it back, but now I've got a problem with paying that money back. But then Elton calls me and he says, you know what? I'm going to forgive you of that debt. How happy do you think I'm going to be? I am going to be over the moon happy. I'm going to be shouting out. I'm going to be telling everybody, Elton just forgave me of $1 million. When you've been forgiven by God, and you've encountered Jesus and he has forgiven you, you cannot help but be so desirous to serve him, because you're like, wow. And the reality is that if I could get everybody up here and you would tell us the way you were before you were saved, very interesting stories. You tell us some really weird stuff. But this is the power. When you really encounter the Lord, it changes you, and all you want to do is to serve him. And so I'm just going to explain and talk this morning and bring some encouragement about my journey. Growing up in Zimbabwe, I used to, you know, go to church with my grandparents. But, you know, my commitment to God was very iffy. It was chased after other things. And so when I came to Australia, I attended church because somebody invited me to come to church. I said, okay, no problem. And so when I was there, I had an encounter with the Lord. One day, a man, just like these two guys on a guitar, and he was singing, and it was in a small church, and he was singing some song about running to the Lord on a white horse, all of that, and I'm like, wow. There was just something about that song that I just said, you know what, I'm going to quit my backsliding and I'm going to start following the Lord for real. Now, I want to confess, you know, there are some people when they give their lives to the Lord, they come running down the aisle and they're so happy to give their lives to the Lord. They come running down the aisle and they're jumping and for joy. I was not like that. I had a very slow walk to the Lord because my problem was that I was thinking of all the things I had to give up. There's a lot. Oh, do I really? I'm committed, but should I really be that committed? I was thinking, you know, once you get to the Lord, now you got to start following what the Bible says. And oh, man, I'm going to miss out. And one of the things I loved was rap music. Now, of course, we know that rap music has got some really crazy words in it, this and that. It says a whole lot of stuff. But because I loved Tupac, you know, and so he was my guy. You know, Tupac was my guy. I knew the songs, and even to this day, I can still sing them. Because somehow, because, you know, you constantly listen to something that, you know, the lyrics just become, they come easy for you. And so that was the thing. I was saying, oh, I have to give up a lot. I have to give up certain lifestyles. But anyway, I continued attending church. And so what would happen is that I was sitting in the aisles. I wasn't doing much. And then slowly but surely, the only thing that we used to do back then in the church we used to attend in Adelaide was Clear Vision with Pastor Ray Ledger. And we had to come every Sunday, put out the chairs, and then at the end of the service, we put the chairs back. So that was the easiest place for me to start serving. Later on, people started seeing certain gifts in me and began to encourage me. Oh, no, you can do this. Or maybe you can talk. And so as I kept serving, and then when people would come to the church, other visiting pastors, and then, you know, people would pray and they would prophesy and say, God wants to do this and that with your life. God wants you to be an evangelist, and you're going to go and tell a lot of people about the Lord. And so I started feeling really kind of special and feeling entitled, thinking, you know what, the Lord has called me to speak. That's what I'm going to do. And so, of course, I started being a youth leader in that church and serving, and I would give small little messages, maybe for 5 minutes. That's how it started. Then from there, I moved to Wollongong. Now, what happened is that all of a sudden, I started to feel a sense of entitlement that I'm supposed to speak. And so I would go into a church and I would force, not force, but I would be very strong in saying, you know, so when we moved to Wollongong, I went to the youth leader and said, I would like to help in youth. I think God has given me a message to speak to young people. And so here I am trying to force my way. And so he invited me onto the team. But in all the years that I was there, we were there in Wollongong, for 18 months I was on this youth team, I only got to speak once. And I did not like that. I wanted to speak because God had given me a message. But one of the things I used to do was to go and do pickups. I'd pick up the kids, drop them off, and bring them to youth, and then at the end of the night, I'll drop them off at home. And I think that then later on, I started driving the church bus again, picking people up on a Sunday. And, you know, when you start helping people, initially it started off, it's about me. I have a message to speak. The Lord wants me to say something. But when I would pick people up for church, there would be young people, there would be elderly people. Now, if I was to do things my way, I would just go park at somebody's house, hit the hooter and say, jump in. But these were elderly ladies. And so I had to get out of the car, go and open the door for them, make sure they get onto their seat, their seatbelts are on. And so all of a sudden, what God started to do was to work on my heart, that it was no longer about me or my gift, It was about serving other people. And so eventually, you know, we left Wollongong and we moved to the Northern Territory in Alice Springs. And you would think I would have learned my lesson about, you know, now it's all about serving other people. No. Again, the Lord has a message for me to tell the young people. Eventually, we left Alice Springs. You know, when you force your way, that God may have called you, God may have a plan for your life, but there are certain things the Lord needs to work in you before you are ready to be elevated to any kind of position. So, left Alice Springs and we moved to Port Hedland. And this time when we moved, I said, I do not want to serve in any capacity at all. I was not pursuing serving. Just was like, nope, I don't want to do it. It's too difficult. But it was during this time that when we got to Port Hedland, I committed myself to serving Pastor David. He was our pastor. Pastor David is the one who came here in December. I said, I am going to do with everything within my power to serve Pastor David. And so one of the things we started doing was bring us out water. Very nice. You know, you got water to drink and all that. I started doing that for the pastors because I was saying, I want to make sure that on Sunday he's the most comfortable so he's able to preach to us. And of course, it ended up being that I was part of his leadership team there. But in that moment, you know, when you make a commitment to say, it's not about me, it's about somebody else, I then made a decision that I am going to be the CEO. Not the chief executive officer, but I was going to be the chief encouragement officer of people within the church. I saw myself now as somebody who was equipped to serve other people, not necessarily to tell them that God has called me to speak to the people, but just to encourage them. And so if I had a word of encouragement for somebody, I would go to them and tell them, this is what is on my heart. And I remember having a conversation with Pastor David. And he was saying, oh, so do you think, maybe one day I'm thinking that when I leave Port Hedland, you know, perhaps, you know, you might want to be the pastor here. And I said to him, nah, don't want. What I want to be, I said to him, I don't think I can become the pastor, but I'm very good at supporting whoever is the pastor. That for me is my role. But I took that same attitude to my work. It wasn't just in church that I took that attitude, but to work, I said, anything, my boss at work, I'm going to do whatever is within my power to make this individual successful in their role. Now, this doesn't mean I was worshiping either Pastor David or my boss, but I made it my mission for these people to succeed. And really, taking that into my work and into my relationship, and these are some of the lessons that I have learned through my journey. And number one is that serving is part of discipleship. If I'm going to serve in the house of God, it's part of discipleship. So we fulfilled Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all nations. We consistently show up helping people on their discipleship journey. And so we walk with people through good times and bad times. We encourage them and we encourage each other with our interaction. And so when you come to church, you might be greeting some people at the door and hello, welcome, it's good to see you. And you exchange some words. And then after the service, we're all gathering, we're talking, how was your week? And then somebody might say, oh, look, I'm struggling with this. And you encourage them. And remember, I was telling you that I wasn't happy when I was in Wollongong because I had a word from the Lord to speak to young people. Pastor Fernando, I don't know whether the Lord told him, don't give this guy the mic. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he told him that. But really, when he was here in 2020, he came to visit us in 2020. And he said that he was having a conversation with one of the young boy who was in the youth group. And this boy was talking to him about something that I had said that had impacted his life. even though I never got to the microphone, I only got there once, but the interactions that I had, one-on-one interactions I was having with these kids, encouraging them, did something for that child in his own discipleship journey. And so you never know the value of the word of encouragement that you bring to somebody else. And I think that what makes a church function well, we have the people that greet, our servers that greet and welcome people, and hospitality. Those, I think, are the key roles and the most important. Because sometimes we might think, we're in hospitality, that's just all we're doing is making coffee and tea and maybe serving some cakes, whatever, that's nothing. But do you understand that if you work in hospitality and you are hospitable, restaurants, they are not just a food business. They're in the business of connecting people with one another. They're in the business of restoring relationships, of building relationships. They're in the business of being involved in transactions for people. Because a lot of people, when they're doing business, they say, let us go to the restaurant, have a meal, whilst we talk about our business. So hospitality is fundamental to the way a church works and to the way, I guess, business or the world works, because it creates opportunities for people to flourish. So please, never underestimate the value when you interact with somebody at the back after the service, what that word of encouragement will do for you. Serving is part of our identity as Christ followers. Jesus, we know that all of us, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Yes, so the Lord gave us that commandment. We are only in church 106 hours in 2023 because there's 53 Sundays. So maybe if we're in church for 2 hours, we're in church 106 hours. Last year it was 104. This year there's 53 Sundays, so we'll be in church for 106 hours. Our lives are more significant than the time that we spend in church. You spend more time at work than you do at church. So really, our mission field, work, is our mission field. So ultimately, that's what our aim is, to make disciples of all nations. But really, Jesus also served those closest to him. Those that were his disciples, he served them. They were close to him. And so this is the key thing, is that when we come to church, it is about how can I serve the people in this church community. Jesus, it says in Romans 15 verse 1, those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter and not just do what is most convenient for us. So essentially it's saying the role of strength in your life is so that you can help other people. It's not so that you can have status, make you feel good. It's not about that. It's about essentially God gives you strength so you can help those that don't have strength. And all of us are supposed to do something in the church. We don't want to just be those that come and sit. Now, of course, I can understand if you do that, that's okay. But really, the body of Christ would be more effective. And as a church community, when we each use our gifts to serve one another faithfully. So these are working on those things that you're good at. Now, people would came and prophesied over my life that, yeah, you will do this and that. So that was one way that I knew what my giftings were. But you can also hear we've got a gift test that you can do to help identify what your gifts are so that you can begin to grow and flow in that area. Amen. Serving. The good thing about serving is that it exposes areas our character needs tweaking. It exposes pride and selfishness. It's all about me, and that's what I used to do. This is all about me. And it exposes that pride and the selfishness that I had in my life. And we know that if you are to do church online, and it's good to do online church, It's very easy to do online church because there's nobody else but yourself. And so you can high-five and you can clap when the speaker, whoever the speaker is preaching. Because guess what? There's nobody there to actually talk to you and tell you some things in your character that might need working with. But when you come to church and you're serving, transformation occurs when we interact with people that may be difficult to get along with. To me, that sounds like family. You see, transformation comes when you have to deal, when Elder has to deal with me. Because he thinks, oh, goodness, I got to deal with that pastor again. I got to deal with that man. But guess what? As he does that, God is working in his heart. He's exposing some things. Eh? He might be exposing some things. And this is what happens when you deal with people that you don't, that are difficult to get along with. And it sounds like family to me. Sometimes it's very difficult to get along with people in your family. Your own flesh and blood. You're like, God, help me. What did I get myself into? But God is a genius. God constituted family and he constituted church so that we can learn to become more Christ-like. As we begin to serve, he exposes the things that are wrong that he wants to change within us. But this cannot be done in isolation. It's always done in the house of God as you interact with people. And the good thing about serving is that it will mature us spiritually. And then lastly, serving brings us joy. Because when you are flowing in the things, in your gifting, you are going to be, or flowing in your area of purpose, you are going to be very happy. Because it's something that you're doing that comes very naturally to you. It's not work. Of course, it will be tiresome, but it's quite easy for you because it is coming out of who you are. So if hospitality is my thing and I just love to serve people, yes, it's work. Yes, it's work to make the coffee and whatever. But guess what? It's very natural to me and it comes easy to me. And so it will bring me a whole lot of joy. Amen? And so I'll just get the guys to come back up. And just as we're finishing this morning, I wonder, are you doing what you can? Are you doing what you can? Jesus, the only thing that the Lord is asking of you today is do what you can do. Not focus on somebody else. What can you do? You know, there was a story that was told in Mark 14 about a lady that, Mary of Bethany, she came into the house of Simon, a guy who previously had leprosy, and she came with a very expensive bottle of perfume, and she broke that, and she was crying at Jesus' feet and wiping his feet with her hair. You know, and so as he was doing that, you know, as she was doing that, this bottle of perfume was worth a year's wages. So it was worth a year's wages. And the people around, the disciples, were saying, why would this lady do that? Why would you waste this money on the Lord? We could use that money to feed the poor. And so they were speaking very harshly to this lady. But Jesus replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to. But you will not always have me. And this is what he said. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. And then Jesus goes on to say, I tell you the truth. Wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. And what I want to say to you this morning is that don't let anybody ever tell you your level of worship for the Lord, how you serve the Lord, how you give to the Lord. Somebody tell you, no, that's way too much. You can't, no. If that is what your heart has decided to do, then guess what? That is your devotion to the Lord, not to anybody else. And I'll just get everybody to stand this morning as we finish. You know, Romans, the 12th chapter, says this, and this is Paul. I plead with you to give your bodies to God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. He goes on to say, he gave everybody a warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. And he says, just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. And if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Each and every one of us has been given a gift by the Lord. And my encouragement is that we would all use the gifts that we have been given to build the house of God, to be those that are planted in the house, because it says they will flourish. And that is the desire for all, that we have for all of us, that we wouldn't just be bystanders, but we would serve in some capacity. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for my brothers and my sisters.